When you picture Jesus Christ, what's he doing? And when you think about your image of him, what setting do you find him in? Do you picture Jesus Christ in some European monastery someplace, sitting around in perfect harmony and total solitude and meditation? Do you picture Jesus Christ in some theological seminary, teaching or poring over old manuscripts and studying? You picture Jesus Christ out by the seaside, just kind of sitting there looking into heaven and enjoying the beauty of God's creation. When you picture Jesus Christ, what image do you have of him? I guess probably more important than what image you might have is when you think about what Jesus Christ is like in the New Testament. As the Bible describes him as he actually walked the earth, what do we see him doing? The reason why that's important is because as followers of Jesus Christ, wouldn't it make sense that we would actually be doing the same kinds of things that Jesus did when he walked the earth? When Jesus said, "Follow me," we would expect that our lives would reflect what Jesus was doing. And you know what? When you study the New Testament, you don't see Jesus founding a monastery. You don't see Jesus spending time poring over theological documents. You don't see Jesus someplace out contemplating creation. What you see when you look at the life of Jesus Christ is an individual who rolled up his sleeves and involved himself with humankind. He placed his life in the pathway of humanity. He intersected with people. And he was constantly involved in meeting needs, in helping, but most importantly, at pointing people to their relationship with God the Father, connecting them with God. Now, it would seem that if that's what Jesus was all about, then we wouldn't be simply involved in an academic pursuit of information about God. We wouldn't find ourselves hidden away someplace in a monastery just meditating on deep thoughts. We wouldn't just be out there pondering the beauty of God's creation. We would be people that are actually engaged, living their lives. You know, one of the things I see when I look at Christianity worldwide is a tendency to relegate Christianity to a Sunday morning experience. Come, listen, learn a little bit, and leave, and then go back to the real world. There are many Christians who don't see the significance or the connection of Christianity to Monday through Saturday. And so, we come to church and we learn a little bit, we sing a little bit, we enjoy a little bit of fellowship, and then we go off and we do life. At Hill Country Bible Church, we believe that that is not the correct way of looking at the church. In fact, we believe that the power of God is more clearly displayed in the world where we live our daily lives than in the building or the church where we come to gather. You should expect to see God doing more significant, dramatic things out where you intersect with humanity than here where we gather to learn and grow and prepare ourselves for the coming week. Hill Country Bible Church is not about simply coming together and then going our separate ways. But we are a team, a family. We are committed to common purposes. And wouldn't it make sense that at least once a year we would evaluate how well we're doing as a church? And look and ask the question, are we really accomplishing anything in the world? If Hill Country Bible Church were to disappear from the face of Northwest Austin, would anybody except the people who show up on Sunday morning care? Would it matter at all? Every year I take a Sunday to give a State of the Church address where we look back on what God did through Hill Country Bible Church in 2002 and look forward to what we can expect and anticipate as our priority for 2003. Now, if you're visiting today, this message is very different than what we normally do on Sunday morning. Normally, I take the Bible and take a passage, and we look at the passage and we study it together. But this morning, what I want to do is take us on a journey that highlights some of the significant things that happened in 2002, that happened through Hill Country Bible Church, to ask and answer the question, are we comfortable, do we believe that what we invested our lives in through this ministry paid dividends of significance for people in eternity. So I'm going to begin to highlight some of the challenges and blessings of last year. I want to begin with our purpose statement, because we say in our purpose, Hill Country Bible Church is a family of believers committed to reaching people with the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ. So wouldn't it make sense that we would begin to measure our effectiveness or our success by asking the question, was anyone actually reached with the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ in 2002 through the ministry of Hill Country Bible Church? The answer to that question is yes. Over 900 people, in fact, 914 people, placed their personal faith in Jesus Christ and indicated that to us through the testimony and the witness of this church. What that means is either through your personal sharing of the gospel or through a corporate gathering where we had somebody presenting the gospel, 914 people came from a point where they didn't understand how to have a relationship with God to a point where they understood the gospel, understood who Jesus was, how he fits in, and they placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, embraced him as their Savior, and have confidence that they will be in heaven when they leave this world. That is an awesome thing. Almost 1,000 people came to faith through the ministry of this church that we know about in the last year. We think that's an awesome, awesome thing, and we can't imagine anything else being any greater than that, but it didn't just happen in Northwest Austin. In our global outreach that reaches out to the world, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but we support 46 missionaries that are working in strategic parts of the world to take this gospel message out to the nations. In fact, we have a team of people in Mexico City that are doing church planting there and working with the people in Mexico City. We have a team in Central Asia. In fact, we have a training center in Almaty, Kazakhstan, that trains about 20 church planters a year that go out to the various republics of Central Asia and plant churches. We have churches, we have about 80 church planters over the past 5 years that are out there actually planting churches among the nations. We've got a team in there that's doing training to prepare the nationals to do incredible ministry. We have a major input into East Asia and the countries that are behind the communist bloc there. And we're ministering to literally tens of thousands of people through our Orient network. In fact, this past week, we had a team come back, and this team has been going into a particular place and ministering to a particular group of people behind the bamboo curtain. And in their ministry, they've connected with a couple of university professors, and they've been ministering to these ladies and helping them as they're on their process or path to faith. And they showed me a videotape of the ladies who they had given some of my sermon tapes to, and they were actually thanking me for what they said, opening their eyes to see the world differently. Now, they haven't crossed over yet, but they're looking differently because they've never heard anything about God before. We've got teams of people that are doing that. We've got missionaries that are doing that. And last year, because of your generosity, we were able to invest over $560,000. More than $500,000 of the resources that you gave went directly to support what God's doing in the world. And I think that that's something to be proud of. I think that's something that we need to feel good about. God is using our resources and our people to minister around the world. We had over 250 of you go on short-term mission trips and participate in reaching out to people that way. And that's an awesome thing that God's doing in our church. Also, we had the privilege of planting our third church. We planted one in Georgetown a few years ago. We planted one in Pflugerville after that. And we planted one this year in Southwest Austin in the Oak Hill area. 54 charter members, about 100 people left here and went down there to get that church planted. Some moved from various places, relocated in order to make that happen. Right now that church is 6 months old. They're running about 175 crammed into the YMCA down there in Oak Hill. They've had 32 people come to faith in Jesus Christ in their first 6 months. Started with 54 charter members, and within the first 6 months, they've almost matched that in the number of new believers that have come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's just an awesome thing. And our prayer and our goal is that we would circle the city with Hill Country Bible churches that would reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I met with a team of people a few months ago. We're trying to strategize on how to reach the University of Texas. Hill Country Bible Church, UT, what would that look like? Got a whole bunch of Aggies that wanted to volunteer to do that ministry. Feel like there's a need there for some reason. I'm not sure why, but what an awesome thing that God is allowing us to do with this new church plant. You know, I don't know about you, but I've kind of been wondering. We keep getting these clues around here about something that's supposed to happen today. And, you know, I don't know if you guys are figuring this out or not. The result of deception. If you have these, you waddle. Haunted house artistry. Superheroes habitat. Charlotte's was famous. Don't say it, but how many of you think you've kind of figured this thing out? Just kind of raise your hand. Well, about half of you kind of pretty good at puzzles, I guess. What is the answer to this? Charlotte's was famous. What is this? Oh, web. What in the world could that be about? Maybe it has something to do with the World Wide Web. Andy, do you have a computer over there? Why don't you bring it over here? Let's take a look at it. See if we can find anything on the World Wide Web here. We'll put what is on Andy's computer up here on the screen so we can all view it together. Oh.
I wasn't finished with my game yet.
Well, do you mind if I close out of it? Okay. Okay. Do you want to resign this game? Okay. Okay, well, let's look over here at Explorer. And let's see if there's anything on the web that we need to be aware of. Well, it looks to me as if maybe Hill Country Bible Church has a new website. Now, I know some of you have been waiting for this for a while because, you know, I kind of feel like if we were a church in Nashville, we would expect to have the best music in the nation. So, we're in Austin. Don't you think we'd have a good website? Well, we got one. And I want to show you a couple of the features of it. One of the important things that we wanted to do when developing this website was have it to be seeker-sensitive so that people around the world could come to our website and find out about how they could connect with God. We've got a section in here on knowing God. And in this section, we answer all kinds of questions about how a person can have a personal relationship with God. Who is Jesus Christ? What is He all about? There's even a place where a person can go online and read the Bible on this page. And our whole design was in such a way that people could come into our website and find a way to connect with God. In addition to that, we wanted to have a number of opportunities or things that would help you, resource you in your own personal lives. And so on the front page, one of the resources that we placed was the ability to listen to the sermon online, where you can actually go to a page and you can look at the sermons that have been preached. Let's pick one here. How about this one, The First Christmas Romance? A couple weeks ago I preached this message. While this is loading, let me just say that what we've done is we've synced the slides and the sermon together so you can actually watch or look at the slides as they appear at the correct point in the sermon. And so one of the things that we've done, by the way, let me also just share with you, we've had a team of people working on this website for a significant period of time. In fact, since March, we estimated our team is averaging about 50 hours a week. And that team has been headed up by just a real godsend, Stephanie Froelich, a lay person who stepped in. I used to do this professionally, and she made a commitment to do it personally for us. So she stepped in, and a number of you guys have been involved in that. Well, let's play and see what we get here. See if we can pick out anything familiar. There you see the slide.
Have you figured out what your ideal Christmas would be like?
The Voice.
Now, Christmas is such a special
and,
season.
Say, you know, you're listening along and you're kind of bored with the introduction, you can always just pick a slide, you know, skip ahead. You don't have to listen to the whole thing and get real bored. You can go right down to the end, you know, just move all the way forward. But part of our motivation in putting this together is to give you a chance, and you can look down at the bottom of the page, there's a place for you to actually email this page to a friend. So say you come in on Sunday morning, you hear a message, and you think, you know, I've got this friend in wherever that really needs to hear this message. You can type in their email address, type them a note, and tell them this will link them to the page. And when it brings them to the page, then they're also into our website. So now that they can look around, and we feel this is a real strong tool for you to use personally and for you to help other people with. So our resource page or our sermon page, let me go back to our home page. Also on our homepage, if you want to find out about a particular ministry, there's a place to go in and you can highlight various ministries. For example, the children's ministry. You want to learn about it. You've got all kinds of examples of the various ministries. You can go and find out tons of information. Or suppose you're looking for a specific event or you want to know what's going on, you can click on our calendar of events. You can go pick a category, children's ministry, put in the month and that you're looking for, do a quick search, pulls up all the events that are taking place in that ministry that month. You can actually go into an individual event, find out the times and the things that are taking place there. So this serves as a tool for you to find out what's going on and the things that you want to be involved in. I also want to point out that if you have a prayer need at any time during the week and you want our prayer team to be praying for them, there's a place for prayer requests. You can click there and you can go in and enter a prayer request so that our prayer team can get those and begin to pray for you. And we've added an additional special feature in relationship to our great investment. So you want to kind of tell a little bit about what's going on with our great investment. And you go in here and there's a page where you can find out the financial status and the things that are taking place there. But also, if you want to see what's taking place on the grounds, now this is kind of the coolest part, so I have to show you this. If you click there on live footage 24 hours a day, you can actually see the construction that's taking place on our new site. And we've informed the contractor to tell all the workers to be careful what they pick or scratch because they might be viewed at any particular time. So it's just kind of as a warning to them. But you can actually, we'll be able to go on there at any time and see as the building goes up. And we think that that's a cool thing that you might want to take some time to check into from time to time and look at. Also, we've got a resource section. And on that resource section, you can go on and get the Bible online. We've got a link where you can type in a key passage or a key word. You can do a word search, you can do a verse search, and we want to make that available to you. Our future plans are to add places where we have online devotions, where we have where you keep your online prayer journal. One of my desires is that I would love to see someone at Hill Country Bible Church write an interactive child's game that is a learning game where the kids from our church can get on our website, spend time actually going in, having a good time, and learning stuff about the Bible. So if any of you just have been wanting to write that program, we have a place to put it up if it's any good. And we'd be happy to put it up here. So I'll have to play it for a few hours, first of all, to make sure that it, you know, really is fun and so forth. This web page is in process, and I'm not supposed to tell you to do this, but I want to anyway. If everybody goes home today and tries to click on our website, we will test the bandwidth of our ability to service you, and you may find out that we still have a lot of bugs in there. We're working those out, and we're also looking for people to join our team. So if you have page layout design, if you know how to develop Flash presentations, database, if you can help us design a database that we're working on, you've got some programming skills in that area, please contact our communications department because we want this to be an incredible tool for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Okay, Andy, you can get back to your game now.
I was going to win that one.
Yeah, no. Okay, additionally, through our congregational care ministry this year, we have had the privilege of serving many of you. In fact, because of the economic downturn and the hard times that many of you have experienced. A number of you found yourself in financial difficulty. And this year, through our benevolence ministry, we helped over 100 families, most within Hill Country Bible Church, and we invested $75,000 in helping people with things like their utilities, buying food, prescription medication, paying rent, just helping people that were going through a difficult time. Also, many of you found yourselves unemployed, and during the year we started a ministry called our Job Seekers Network. And many of you have experienced help in trying to connect and network and find jobs through Hill Country Bible Church. So we're so excited about our congregational care ministry. In addition to that, we sent out a plea for our Servants on Standby, our SOS team. I preached a message called Peanut Butter and Jelly and talked about how from time to time people have needs. And we invited you to join an email list to inform you of the needs that come available. And over 600 of you committed to be on that list. We've already started sending out requests for help. And we've seen a tremendous response from you as you guys have responded to that. For example, we had a family in our church that had two children already. The mother went into premature labor. A baby was born that had some severe medical problems. So she's trying to take care of her kids at home, trying to be at the hospital for her child. And we sent out an SOS. And you guys responded with meals. You responded with transportation. You responded with childcare, with house cleaning. You stepped out and you've helped in significant ways. And that's not just isolated to one example. We have had many. We just are so excited about your willingness to be involved in our SOS team, our Servants on Standby. I don't know if you know this or not, but on any given Sunday morning, we have about 4,000 people on this campus who come here to worship Jesus Christ. We also have about 450 junior and senior high students that are part of this ministry. It's been just very enjoyable to me as I go to basketball games at Westwood to walk into the gym and have numerous students that are part of our student ministry greet me. And even on the opposing sides, whether it's Leander or whether it's Cedar Park or Pflugerville, to run into to students that are part of our ministry that go to these other schools as well. And so we're having a huge impact in our high schools and our junior highs in this area. You may also be unaware that on any given Sunday morning, we have over 1,200 children that are worshiping on this campus. 1,200 kids that participate in ministry, and on every Sunday night we have over 500 who come back to be part of our Awana ministry. Not only are we investing in the adult population, but we're ministering to two generations, our junior high and senior high, and then all the way down to the cradle, training and mobilizing and equipping people that are going to be the next generation of Christians to impact our world. And I believe that Jesus Christ is very pleased with what we see here happening through our ministries here. Our singles ministry is beginning to really impact the community. And one of the initiatives that began last year was our Still Point ministry. Still Point is designed to minister to the 20-somethings that are looking for their way in life. One of the examples of something that took place just this week, which is phenomenal. On Monday of this week, our Still Point band was practicing at a rented place, a little hall down on Valente Road. And as they were practicing down there, two girls walked in their 20s and just kind of walked in and said, "We're lost. We were traveling from Temple to Wimberley and ended up on Valente Road." In the course of the conversation, the nature of what the band was there doing, playing Christian music and practicing Christian music and all that, turned to a spiritual conversation, and one of the band members led one of the women to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, the story gets better. They got her information, and one of the guys was praying about how are we going to connect with this woman in Temple and help her take her next step spiritually. So during the week, he was driving to Dallas for a meeting. And while he's on his way to Dallas for a meeting, he's getting to Temple and he's thinking, now, how can I connect with this woman? How, you know, it may feel kind of forward, me just walking in and saying hello. And, you know, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? While he's driving, he's in Temple going to Dallas. He gets a call that the meeting in Dallas has been canceled. So now he's in Temple. The meeting in Dallas has been canceled. He pulls into a Starbucks to pick up some coffee. In the process of getting out his wallet to pay for it, a woman there, a 50-year-old woman, notices his wallet. She makes a comment about the design of his wallet. He notices she's wearing a cross. He asks her if she's a believer. They begin a conversation, and then he shares his dilemma. We led this woman to faith, not sure how to connect with her, want to follow up with her, and she says to him, I was praying just this morning that God would do something supernatural in my life today. She says, I'll follow her up. I'm part of a Bible church here. I'd love to follow her up. And so she gets the information. She's going to go follow her up. Well, he asked the woman to give him directions to the place where she worked, and he went over to her work and was writing a note to her employees about this connection with this other person, and he asked the employees there in the office, has she said anything to you about what happened on Monday? And they said, oh, yeah, she told us all about coming, running into you guys and praying to receive Christ and how she was so excited that she now feels like God, she's found God and she's got a new direction for her life. Now, how in the world does that happen? You know how that happens? That happens when people are available and willing to let God do supernatural things. And I believe that Hill Country Bible Church is filled with people that desire that. You want God to do something through you. 914 people in this last year came to faith in Jesus Christ through the ministry that you guys are doing in this church. That's a phenomenal thing. We look forward to seeing how Still Point is going to reach out to a lot of the 20-somethings that are looking for direction. In addition to that, we added a number of new staff positions this year. Let me highlight them real quickly. We had a number of new people, but these are actually new positions that we haven't had in the past. The first one was Stephanie Moyer. She came on as our Children's Ministry Personnel Director, responsible for the 500 or so of you that work in our children's ministry. We also added Claudia Williams. She's our Community Development Director, and Community Development is our reaching out into the community to help underprivileged people, people that are struggling, people that are having a hard time. And our desire is that when people drive by the facilities of Hill Country Bible Church, they would say, those people care about this community. The place where we live is better because we have hundreds of people from Hill Country deployed helping people that live in Northwest Austin. In addition to that, we added Phil Christensen as our family pastor. Phil's role is to work with the men's ministry, the women's ministry, and to work with all of our family ministries to develop strong family within Hill Country Bible Church. We also added Deidre Tarbett. Deidre is our production director. You see her sitting down front from time to time with the headset on. Deidre's job is to tell me what to do. So in addition to the 4,000 of the rest of you who tell me what to do, Deidre gets to tell me what to do too. But she coordinates all of our programming, keeps everything moving in what goes into Sunday morning and our other major events. In addition to that, on our worship staff, we added Val Degone. She's our music director. You see her up here at the keyboard from time to time. And she works with Rich, our worship pastor, to develop our music on Sunday morning. We added Susan Donnell. Susan is our finance and accounting director. She takes care of all our resources, answers questions, deals with our financial end. We also added General Gordy Jackson as our global outreach pastor. Now, for those of you who don't know Gordy, he served as the chairman of our elder board for a while, and he was one of those real Marines. He's a retired career Marine. And so when I was talking to him about this position, I said, Gordy, do you know that people that are involved in missions and global outreach are the Marine Corps of the Christian faith? He got this incredible gleam in his eye, and he's been on fire for this ever since then. So if you're not acting right on one of these short-term mission trips and you hear somebody in a low voice say, drop and give me 20, you'll know that Gordy's nearby. We're excited about his participation in our global outreach ministry. Also, Mike Shine came on staff. Mike Shine is our Real Life Center director in East Austin. We have a facility there where we minister to people in the East Austin area. Mike Shine's full-time down there working with our teams to minister and reach out to that community. And each of these people that came on board play strategic roles in advancing what God's doing through Hill Country Bible Church and what God's doing in this community because of you guys and through our church. Of all the things that take place at Hill Country Bible Church, our real life groups are the backbone, the heart and soul of our ministry. The real life groups are the places where people connect, where people find accountability and relationship. They find strength and encouragement. Last year, we had 85 real life groups, and over the course of the year, we added a number of others. We have 102 real life groups with over 1,400 of you as adults participating in those real life groups. We want to see that grow. We want to see every single person connected to a life-changing relationship in our real-life groups. And we see 2003 as a year of expanding to get you connected with the people that can love you and help you grow spiritually, changing your life. Of all the challenges that we faced last year, the biggest one that I believe that our elders placed before us as a church was the expansion of our facility. As we looked at where we were, we recognized that we were tight for space. We were out of parking. We were landlocked, and we didn't have any educational space. And so we came back to the congregation and made a proposal that would include $16.3 million of expansion. We came to you guys in May. We asked you to pray about it. We asked you to pray what God would lead you to give. And through that process, you prayed and you told us, and God led you as a congregation to pledge $19.9 million over a 3-year period. Out of the 1,700 families that make up our church, 950 of you committed to this project, $19.9 million. And that just blows me away. I cannot tell you how incredible that kind of commitment is, allowing us to expand our facilities to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are so excited that in the midst of economic hard times, you came forward and you said you have more faith in the mission of our church and in God's ability to provide for you financially than you do in what the stock market is doing, than you do in what the president's new tax plan and incentive package is doing. You believe that God's calling you to do something great for the kingdom. And that just blows me away. What an awesome commitment, an awesome faith demonstrated by this church. It's just amazing. As of today, we're at about 87% of pledges collected thus far. As we look at how the pledges are going to come in, so we are praying, because that means we're a little bit behind, about 13% behind, but we believe that God's going to call some more of you to participate, that some of you are going to step back up and fill in, that we're going to see God provide for all the things that we need. Over the course of last year, you guys invested between giving to the great investment and giving to the general fund, you guys invested over $8.8 million in the kingdom of Jesus Christ through the ministry of Hill Country Bible Church. And the things that are taking place here are connected to your commitment to give financially. When you give, that money has an impact on lives. Now, let's in on one of my pet peeves. Ever since I moved to Austin a little over 13 years ago, I've been paying school taxes. I was paying school taxes before my kids were old enough to go to school. I paid school taxes even when my kids were in private school, and I was paying private tuition and school tax. And you know what? I'll be paying school taxes when my kids are grown and gone. And in all of that time, at least thus far for me personally, I've never received a letter from the school district thanking me for paying taxes. It's almost as if they expect that I'm going to do this. It almost gives me the feeling that if I stop doing it, they're going to come and get me. You know what would have made me happier during that time? If I'd have just gotten a letter on an annual basis saying, "We just want to tell you how your tax dollars are changing the lives of students in our community. We just want to tell you about how kids are graduating, how they're moving off with their careers, how they're doing good because of your investment." That would make me feel so much better. You know what? Oftentimes I think the Church of Jesus Christ is guilty of the same thing. It kind of feels like we expect you to give. But seldom do you hear anyone come back and say thank you. Or more importantly than even a thank you, to have someone come back and explain to you how your investment is having an impact in the world. We are going to correct that this year. during the course of this year, we're going to take time to let you know periodically how what you're putting in to the collection plate on Sunday morning, what you're sending in by check, is actually doing something of significance for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we're going to use a little visual to help us with that. Andy, why don't you bring the treasure box over here? We're going to point out during the course of the year on numerous occasions that God... Thank you, Andy. How you doing on that game? Okay, so? Okay. Over the course of the year, we're going to point out how God is taking what you're investing and producing eternal treasures so that you understand the magnitude of what God is doing through you. As we open the treasure box this morning, I find within it a set of gold pearls. This string of pearls, each bead, represents one person that became part of the family of Hill Country Bible Church, joined as a member during the course of last year. There are 427 of these beads, which reflect 472 people. Man. Let me do this. 427 people that are part of this church that are here today because you paid for the seats, because you paid for the parking lot, because you paid for the classroom space, people that can be part of this ministry, people that are bringing their gifts here, people that are growing here, people that are impacting other people's lives. Because of your investment, we've seen 427 people become part of our family. And our family has expanded because of what you've committed to do financially. And that is a blessing from God. By the way, we just added 187 parking places for those of you who parked and walked through the mud today that you can access from Hatch Road starting next Sunday. So I want to let you know about that. And all that came about because of your financial commitment and your financial investment. And during the course of the year, we're going to highlight some of the other things that God has done because of what you've done and your participation in this ministry. I could spend hours and hours going through myriads of examples. And there's been some tremendous miracles I don't have time to even talk about this morning that happened in 2002. But I want to spend just a minute talking about 2003 because we need to look ahead to what we believe God's calling us to be about in 2003. When you look at a family portrait, oftentimes you have no idea what may be taking place behind the scenes or in the future. For example, as we look at this family portrait, and you see a man and his wife and two children who work in the high-tech industry. He works in the high-tech industry like many of you do here. Participate actively in a Bible teaching church, was member of a small group, a real-life type group, worked with the youth ministry, and had a favorite saying. As a kind of an active guy, whenever he was trying to get the kids together to move from one place to another, he'd say things like, kids, grab your hats and coats and let's roll. Well, that saying became famous on an infamous morning, on September 11th, when the plane that he was flying on was hijacked by a group that intended to do destruction. Todd Beamer was on that plane, and through the course of conversation between he and an operator and some of the other members of the people on that plane, they discovered that the intent of the hijackers was to destroy human life, to kill people in an act of mass destruction. And so Todd Beamer gathered together with a group of men in the back of that plane, and there they said the Lord's Prayer. And then Todd led them in reciting the 23rd Psalm. In the midst of all that, Todd said to the operator, I don't think we're going to make it. But he moved forward, and they rushed the cockpit, and his last words were, let's roll. Now we too live in a world where evil is present. And there is a sinister one, Satan himself, who desires nothing less than to undermine people. And we are called as a church to actively be out there doing things to reach people, to draw them to Jesus Christ. But before we move out, we need to kneel down. And our motto, as the elders prayed and asked God, God, what do you want 2003 to be like for Hill Country Bible Church? Our motto for the year is, let's pray. Our desire is that with the same intensity of activity that was summed up in that group of men who moved forward with let's roll, that we would move in power into this community to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we would be on our knees. We would be praying. I'm going to begin a sermon series starting next week on prayer. And it's my desire that during the course of this year, you would learn about prayer. You would begin to grow in prayer. You would begin to understand how to practice it in your personal life. And it would take on a new meaning for you. For you see, in the year 2003, I think two things are going to happen in our world that will affect us. First of all, I believe, based on what the president's been saying, that we will go to war in 2003. And it will be of a larger scale than what we saw in Afghanistan. In our experience, when our nation goes to war, people get open to spiritual realities. This year is going to be a significant year for us to be involved in praying and praying for God to use us. Secondly, I don't believe that the economy is going to turn around tomorrow morning. I don't think we're going to wake up tomorrow and everything's going to be great. I think we've got time. And during that time, we have temptation. Are we going to continue to live the lavish lifestyles of the 90s when it seemed like everything turned to gold? Or are we going to buckle down and continue to be faithful to fund the kingdom and to keep moving forward with the vision God's called us to? There will be significant temptation. And what I would suggest to you is that Hill Country Bible Church will continue to move forward with the power and the passion of accomplishment that we've seen in 2002 and prior, if we find ourselves on our knees before God in prayer. And we're going to teach you how to do that this year. We're going to show you how to do that. We're going to model that for you so that you can find yourself effective in prayer. Let's pray. That's our motto. As we approach 2003, each year we take some time in our worship service just to dedicate this year to God. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you just to spend a few moments before God just saying, God, make 2003 the greatest year of my life. I give you this year. Use me in it how you want to use me. In a symbolic act, I'm going to invite the elders and their families and staff and anybody else who wants to. We're going to come down to the front and we're going to kneel and we're going to pray. We're just going to dedicate this year to God. And if you personally want to join us at the front, if that's meaningful to you, feel free to do that. You say, well, I'm in the middle of the row. Can I get out? People will be happy to let you out. Or just pray right where you are. But we want to take this time right now to say, God, 2003 is yours. Use me. Let's pray.